The words chosen for this morning are found in Luke 9, beginning with the 28th verse. This is the alternate text of the Transfiguration as it's found in Luke's account. And eight days after this, he took Peter, James, and John with him and went to a high mountain to pray. And as he prayed, his appearance changed. His clothes became bright as flashing lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure that he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. As the men were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." In Jesus Christ, our transfigured Savior, dear fellow redeemed. At this time of year, we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord, which very properly ends the Epiphany season, and at the same time, it points us down the way of sorrows, the Via Dolorosa to the cross, that we will travel in the Lenten season. We want to see these two connections in this text. And at the same time, we're looking at Jesus' departure and our own. Towards evening after the Sabbath, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the inner core of the disciples, with him to a high mountain to pray. Suddenly, towards morning, Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shined like the sun, and his clothes became glistening white. Wonderful, magnificent scene. Here, all his divine majesty, which was hidden in his earthly life during his state of humiliation, burst forth in all its glory. This manifestation had a definite purpose. A week earlier, Jesus had asked his disciples, who do you think that I am? And Peter responded for the disciples, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But when Jesus started to talk about his coming suffering and death, then Peter took Jesus aside and told him not to talk about such foolish things. This whole idea of Jesus suffering was just confusing them. The transfiguration was to strengthen their faith. But the Father has even more to say to them. With Jesus, there appeared two men, Moses and Elijah. These were the two great patriarchs of the Old Testament. They symbolized the law and the prophets, the entire Old Testament scriptures. What were they talking about? It says, they spoke about Jesus' departure, that he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. What could these disciples say that didn't want to hear about death? Even the ancient patriarchs realized that Messiah would leave this world suffering from human sin. Jesus, the transfigured one, would go all the way to the cross. As the Father says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to what he's telling you." Now, notice that the word that's used in the Lukean text for Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection is the word departure. In the Greek text, it's the same word as the Old Testament Exodus. In the Exodus, Israel came up out of bondage in Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea and went out into the wilderness. But in the wilderness, they fell into temptation, and many died in the wilderness. They broke the stipulations of the first covenant. Therefore, God promised a new covenant, a new testament. And in this new testament, there is a new Israel found in the person of Jesus Christ. He too came up out of Egypt after fleeing there as a child. He too passed through the waters at his baptism. He too went out into the wilderness to be tempted. But he didn't fall and wander aimlessly as Israel did for 40 years. No, in 40 days. He overcame Satan for each and every one of us, living the holy life in our place. And then, because Israel broke the covenant, and because each one of us here daily break the commandments, he was hung on the tree as the accursed man. There, he took away the curse of death for each of us and blotted out all our sin and iniquity. This transfiguration points to Jesus' departure and to ours. When the disciples saw the glory on the mountain, Peter said, "Lord, let's make three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. It's good to be here." They, seeing the wonder of heaven all around them, they wanted to stay there forever, and rightly so. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were there right now? But that request was impossible. We're never going to have heaven on earth. However, we who are part of the new Israel, united with Christ by faith in him, engrafted into him, the new Israel, we will experience the wonders of the transfiguration, not totally in this life, but in our departure. And now, our departure, what's it going to be like? As the word Exodus here referred to Christ's whole earthly life, so our whole earthly life is much like Israel in the wilderness. As Israel, we became God's people passing through the waters of baptism, the Red Sea of baptism, as the ancient fathers called it. We are now in this present wilderness where there are temptations and struggles and conflicts on every side. The young people here this morning are wondering, are we going to make it through this semester with everything that's going on? And then if I make it through this semester, am I going to make it through Bethany? And if I make it through Bethany, is it really worth it with the present economic situation? Am I going to make it through Bethany and have to go home and live with my parents because there's no place for me to go? Fears and concerns. The elderly, or older, more mature, if you will, here are wondering, is there going to be any Social Security when I finally get to retire? Is the health plan that I'm using going to kill my salary entirely? We wonder, what's it going to be like at the end of our life? How am I going to face one of a variety of dreaded diseases growing within me? I visit my mother once a week in an Alzheimer's unit. Is that where I'm going to end up? Fears and concerns on every side. And yet, the comfort. The Lord is with us all the way, as he was with Israel of old, feeding us with the heavenly manna, his life-giving word, and his holy sacraments. There he gives us the sustenance to continue on, even when we don't know the answers, when they're ripping us apart so that we don't fall by the way. He gives us the strength through him. And at last, when we reach our final departure, when we tread the verge of Jordan, through his word and sacraments, he bids our anxious fears subside. He shows us that beyond that horrible thought of death is the wonderful promised land of heaven with milk and honey blessed. There, all the fears and concerns and horrors will be over, and there will be joy and peace forevermore. This life is only a moment, and then we will be with him in eternity. Amen. Let us arise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And we're going to sing the hymn, and as you sing the hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah," realize that he is there, the Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament and the New, guiding and leading us all the way till we cross the Jordan. We pray it.